All right, everybody, welcome to what is Lecture 18, essentially, in this American History program for the junior and senior high class of history at our house. I previously had written that it was Lecture 18 tomorrow, but we can properly refer to today's material as Lecture 18, so I've had to update that slightly. So notice that we are into week 7 now, as we've been anticipating would happen for some time, and that we have an unusual schedule of activities to undertake this week. And today, the most important thing to do is to make sure that you understand what that schedule of work is and how to meet the requirements of the class, essentially. So right now, your primary task is to ask yourself whether or not you get what is going to happen this week. And if you don't, listen to what I'm about to say to see if any lingering questions or doubts remain, whether or not they are answered. And then, well, if they are not, you better ask, because now is the time to know the answers rather than be uncertain. So, as I was mentioning before class, I have... dealing with a torrential downpour here in our area, and so you'll be hearing the thunder in the background, and hopefully I won't lose power. If I do, I will try to reconnect to the class, but if I'm not back within 10 minutes, you should consider today's session as being canceled due to electrical disturbances. And what you should do then is you should look to the class webpage, where you will find two important documents for this week's work. One is, and I'm going to show you the example of the upper elementary class webpage right at this very moment, because it happens to be ready. So yours isn't quite ready yet. But the week 7 resources will say test review part 1, and you will see week 6 and 7 class notes, and then you will see upper elementary test 1. Well, of course, you will see junior high test 1 preparation sheets. And if you are in the high school level, you will not see test prep sheets or class notes. So all you will see today is the screencast recording and the audio lecture version if you want to listen to the MP3. So you won't have the benefit of this material. What will you have the benefit of in your test preparation? So let me just for the moment here address what the situation is going to be for Keene. And then we'll get back to the rest of you guys. Now, I do need, and I apologize for not having done this before, I do need to become clearer here on what every person's situation is. Keene is the only person that I am convinced is fully in the high school program at this point, but I may be wrong about your standing or what particular part of the program you are or are intending to use. So I need a quick confirmation here whether or not anybody else is technically trying to be in the high school program. So if you are, that means you're accessing the high school page and you are not getting any class notes and you're not getting any test preparation sheets. So you would know by now, I assume. But Keene, I believe you're the only one. So what I think we will do, Keene, is you and I should talk at the end of today's session. Okay? We should talk at the end of today's session so that you have further guidance from me. And we're going to discuss how things are going to operate kind of as we proceed over the course of the year, because your work level is going to be higher than everybody else's, in a sense. So there will be some requirements that you have to meet that others don't. So primarily today I'm going to be talking about how to meet the requirements at the junior high level, but most of which will be relevant for Keene as well. But then at the end I'll save a personal discussion for Keene and anybody who's listening to the recordings as a high school student about how you should be preparing, because you have certain additional challenges that are relevant only to you. So First of all, with regard to the junior high class, going back to this material, of course, today we're going to review the anchor facts, and you're going to receive the test preparation sheets. What you will see about those test preparation sheets is they look, well, let me show you an example of page one of the test preparation sheets. Okay, this is the beginning of the upper rel test, but basically, in fact, the anchor facts are the same for all levels of the program. So, you'll basically be getting the same first page. Every single class will be getting the same first page. Of course, if you're taking this test at the high school level and your grammar is off, then you're going to be penalized in a much more rigorous way than you would be if you were in the lower elementary class, and I will be less forgiving of minor errors, right? So if you don't put a circa in front of a date that requires it, it won't be right, and so on, okay? So at the lower L level, of course, I'm quite forgiving. Upper L, less so. Junior high, less so. High school, less so. Even more. Okay, but basically the test preparation sheets and the test will look very much like this. Because there is an element of memorization to the anchor facts that is required in the program. So all the anchor facts will be featured on the upcoming test. Which means, I mean, this is easy stuff in one way at least. It means that question 1 through 7 on the test, you know what they are going to be in advance. That's huge. Right? This is basic. So you know what they are going to be in advance, and you can prepare them, and quite frankly, you should be scoring 100% on the first 7 questions. Because we've been discussing these questions now for well over a week, and we're going to continue to discuss them this week and check your understanding. And we will be reviewing them on Thursday based on your written answers, and you will get feedback from me. So at that point, anybody that says, well, Mr. Powell, I don't know the so what for number 7 or something like that. At that point, really, there are no excuses. At that point, we will have discussed these answers to a degree where you cannot come back to me and say, oh, I wasn't ready for that one, or I didn't get that one, it's going to be, it will be on the recordings of this class, it will be in the class notes, there will be about 10 different places where it will have been addressed. So, no more excuses, essentially. Bria, you have a question or comment? Now, I can barely hear you because of the noise level in my area, so hold on a second here. I'm going to try to make it a little quieter in my room. Try again, please, as loud as you can.
Okay. On all the pages, are we going to put all the numbers with the 80 on it?
Okay. I'm sorry, because you spoke right at the time of a thunder strike, so you're going to have to try again.
Okay.
Louder.
Okay, so are we doing circa on all of the numbers or years, or just...
Whenever it's relevant. We don't need a circa on 1776, do we? Are we not sure if it's 1776? No, we know absolutely that it was 1776. So you don't put a circa unless you need it. A circa is a way of expressing and indicating uncertainty. It means, oh, I'm not sure if it's 3000 BC or 3001 BC, so we're going to put a circa. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad, because, yeah, that's a crucial issue. It's interesting in history, because circas are necessary for pretty much everything in history until the Roman Empire. So that's kind of interesting. Can anybody just for the sake of it, because we'll have plenty of time for today's session. Can anybody think of why that is? Why it is that you need a circa in front of everything until about the time of the Roman Empire? What is it? What do you think happened there that means that we don't need the circus anymore? Ben?
Maybe there weren't really any historians until the Roman Empire.
No, that's not it, because the Greeks invented history, and they weren't conquered by the Romans until about 300 years later. So, no, the Greeks had history already, but no, and they invented it. So, and the Romans copied them, but no, that's not the reason. Interesting, good guess. Alexander?
Everybody switched to the same calendar.
No, you don't need that. That's an interesting one, Alexander. You don't need the same calendar to get rid of the circus. But you're on the right track when you said the word everybody. So here's the challenge. When we go to ancient Egypt and we look at their story, they have a different calendar. So yes, we have to try to figure everything out. And usually in history, before Christianity, every country had a different calendar, and the calendar was based on whoever was king at the time. And so the calendar would be, like right now we would be, if we wanted to make a silly comparison, right now we would be in year six, Obama. That would be our calendar. Oh my gosh, did you hear that lightning strike? Wow. Okay, so we would be in year six Obama. That would be our calendar. And France would be in year one Hollande. What else? I can't think of other countries right now and their leaders, what they happen to be. But, you know, that kind of thing. They would be named after the president or named after the king. And that's it. And then so you'd have to kind of go back and try to figure out the date of things by finding out how long did each ruler last. And there were lists of kings and stuff like that. But more importantly, each of those is imprecise, and each of those had kind of flaws and difficulties in the records. It wasn't until the Roman Empire that we can get rid of the circas, because what happens is we can take the calendars of the Egyptians, and then we can compare them to the calendars of the Greeks. We can compare those to the calendars of the Mesopotamians. And we can compare those to the calendar of the Romans. And what does this allow us to do when we are able to put side by side four different calendars? Alexander?
It lets us figure out if multiple calendars wrote down the same event, then we can see how they interact and like what time in some different calendar.
Exactly. How they line up, and that permits us to create a web of information that validates our claim to any particular chronology, any particular timing of events. So once the chronologies become non-contradictory, where in other words, the Roman one equals the Greek one, equals the Egyptian one, equals the Mesopotamian one, every calendar that we have confirms the same thing and says the same thing, well then we don't need a circa anymore. Now we don't have a problem because basically everybody agrees on what is the answer. Now they still might be wrong, so that can be tricky even if everybody agreed, but evidently the likelihood goes down enormously, and the more scientific the culture, the better. So what happens is in a Greek calendar there'll be a reference to an eclipse, and then astronomers in the year 2014 can do all of their calculations as to when the eclipses occurred, and they'll be able to pin it down to the exact timing. And there's all kinds of interesting different kinds of confirmation that occur. There'll be a volcanic eruption in a particular year, and then the geologists will be able to find the stratum in the earth where the ruins of the city are, and so on and so forth. So it's amazing how accurate we can be And so by the time we get to the Roman Empire, we get enough stories converging that we start to know when things are happening without having to put a circa in front of them. So Bria, once again, a circa means around, approximately. So it's a sign that we are being objective about what we know and what we don't know. We're not claiming to know the exact year of an event if we don't know the exact year of the event. Now, if we don't know the year of the event, why is it even in history? Why is it even in there? Why do we even have circa 3000 BC in our story? How come history doesn't start in the Roman Empire? If we don't even know when it happened. Alexander?
Because there is still some important stuff that happens.
Yeah, and more than that. Yes, there is still important things happening, such as the invention of a republic, the invention of a democracy. These things are happening at a time when we don't have precise records. But the precision that we have is sufficient to build a non-contradictory chronological narrative. So it says, yeah, we might be off by a little bit here or there, but our story is not so tightly woven that we're going to run into a problem where something is wrong, something doesn't make sense, because we don't know if it was circa 508 or circa 509 or circa 510. It could have been kind of here or there a little bit, but so we don't find ourselves in a position of running into contradictions that we can't resolve just because we don't know the exact timing of it. Okay? So that's kind of what's going on there. So circas have to be there when they have to be, and they shouldn't be there when they are not required. So that's definitely part of the precision level of your answers. You need to know which ones are circa and which ones are not. Okay, but let's talk procedurally also about these answers here in your test. At this level, everything should be grammatical and everything should be carefully written out, with full sentences where required. So answers to who, what, where should be kind of a single sentence. Answer to so what should be a single sentence. When, of course, is marked as a date only, so you don't need one there. And so let's go ahead and type out as a group here. Let's just do an example of what it should look like for us to complete this particular sheet. And we'd be looking up the answers. It's actually not a bad thing. You know what I want to do? I want to go over here to the junior high. And pull down the class notes for, is it going to be, no, it's not going to be until, it's not going to be until here, class notes for week 1 and 2. All right, let's do that here. So let's imagine for a second that you're still a little bit shy on some of these answers. Week 1 and 2 doesn't have the anchor facts in it. Not quite yet. That's going to be part of the test for sure. Week 1 and 2. But it should be the class notes for week 3 and 4 where we start to tackle the anchor. So let's take a look here. Okay, anchoring our awareness of the past. Here we go. All right, so I wanted to do Menes and Armor. There we go. All right. So let's say you're looking at Menes and Armor and you're not sure, you know, how it fits. Right? You're going to end up looking in through the notes and you're going to notice. Finally, you're going to get through to Menes Narmer, who's on your timeline. and you're going to get into the fact that right here it says the country of Egypt was first brought under the rule of one man, the king, named Manes-Narmer. And so, what does it say about the so what here, if you need to? It says, we are living in a story 5,000 years into the story of recorded human history. So that would be one way to answer the question. I think we have a follow-up on this in the class notes as well, and we've had a discussion on this to sharpen it up in class as well. So you'll be looking in your notes. You're going to be coming back to the test sheet. Let me bring it up. Okay? And you'll be filling it in. So part one of it is going to be who, what, where. So give me an answer to that, which is combined, because you need to have all three parts. Who's got a formulation here? The answer is who, what, and where together. Should be pretty readily. Hold on a second. Let me get my participants. Okay, what's the who, what, where part here? Bria, go ahead.
Oh, for which one?
For number one.
Okay, so, it's who, Manes-Narmer, it was what is, kind of, I have the answer written down, but I don't know if it's correct.
Well, now's your chance to check it.
United Egypt.
Unifies Egypt.
Egypt.
Okay.
And then, when is circa 3000 BC?
Okay. This is going to be a bare bones answer, but it's going to be enough. Okay.
And where ancient Egypt?
No, but you see, who, what, where? You've already done everything. That was the point of walking you through these steps here, was that you've already done it. Who, Manes-Narmer, what, unified, where, Egypt. So you don't have to rewrite. It was a little bit mechanical of me to have who, what, and where on those prompt sheets to get you thinking about these things. But you should be able to kind of put those together into a single sentence. So that's the purpose of this kind of compound question. Okay? Who, what, where? Manes-Narmer unifies Egypt. Okay? And then, Timothy is still having trouble over there, poor guy. Okay? So, and then the so what is, here we go, something like that. For 5,000 years until America, the rule of one monarchy was the norm in the world. There's a lot of different formulations for this, right? In your own words is perfectly acceptable, but basically what we're getting at is where we are now is 5,000 years into the story, starting with Egypt. Okay, so this is going to get you most of the point. This is going to get you all of the points on this question. Some formulation that basically is equivalent to this. So, similarly, we keep on going down the list. Right? Who, what, where? This one's a little bit trickier. Who can do that one? Timothy, glad you're here.
Who, ancient Athens / ancient Rome.
Okay.
What, Athenian democracy and Roman Republic. Where, Athens and Rome.
Okay, I'm doing a short version of it, but okay. So, Athens invents democracy, Rome invents republic. Okay, Timothy, keep going. What's the when?
Okay. When is circa 508 BC / circa 509 BC?
Mm-hmm.
So what? These are the two exceptions of a monarchy up until America.
Two great exceptions to monarchy and precedence. Okay, good. There we go. All right, so now you have the answer to the first two. Bria, go ahead.
Okay. So where... Let me get my paper. Would be... Jesus and his birth in circa 4 BC.
Okay, but give me who, what, where. Practice doing it this way.
It was Roman. It was the Romans. But it was just birth. This period was birth.
Okay. Alright. So, hold on. It's alright to struggle a little bit to formulate it right now. And that is the whole point. That is the whole point of test preparation. If you're still kind of circulating around the answer, but you haven't got it solid yet, this is it. This is the time. A test is the time to render it rock solid. Okay, so you've got to get it now solid. So Micah, how would you put that?
Jesus was born in the Roman Empire.
Okay, I would write Jesus Christ is born in the Roman Empire. Okay, good. That is who, what, and where. Okay, good. And then, continuing, Micah?
Circa 4 BC.
Okay.
And so what is, the calendar is derived from this event, and the most important religion, Christianity, arises.
Okay, and I'm going to take that and polish it up a bit. Okay, so Christianity is the most important religion in history, as reflected by the fact that we use a calendar based on this event. Done. All right, so far... we have all the answers to the first three questions. And that's as far as we're going to go today. So there are four more to do for the test, for the anchor facts. And I'm going to let them disappear off the screen right now. If you need them, you can come back to this recording and you can copy them straight off the screen if you want. If you're still in need of the precise formulations that you want, or you're not sure what they should be, come back and copy them off the screen here. But I'm going to scroll off the screen, so I won't be able to keep them on there. So, I've left them on here long so that you can find them on the recording. But I just wanted to indicate to you now what the remainder of the test is going to look like. Okay? So, let me get rid of the annotations for the time being. So what you're going to see is, your test is going to go all the way to the anchor facts are going to be 1 through 7. And then after that, you are going to have part 2 of the test, which is going to be based on Europe and the time of Christopher Columbus. So all the material from weeks 5, 6, and 7, basically, are going to, and also from, well, a little bit is going to be from week 1 for you guys in the junior high and high school class, right? Because in week 1, we discussed, where is it? Yeah, this content. What is history and why do we study history? So that's going to be there on the test as well. There's going to be at least one question concerning this for each level. And then the next section is going to be... Let me bring it up on screen again. Then it's going to be Europe in the time of Christopher Columbus. And you're going to have questions that resemble this, such as, why had France and England become almost permanent enemies by 1492? Your question might have more complications to it and probably more space. The junior high test is going to be 3 pages long. And the high school test is going to be 4 pages long. So it's going to be kind of, you know, there's an increment of level of difficulty to each test. Bria, continue.
So, I can get out without that. So who Christopher Columbus is finding the United States or using the Bahamas?
No, be careful about that. There's no such thing as the United States. It's 1492.
So,
what's he finding? What's he discovering?
Well, he was looking for Asia.
Right, but what did he discover in the meantime?
He discovered, I'm totally
broke.
I'm sorry.
All right. I sense that you maybe are getting a little flustered here because we're talking about test preparation, but you've had this one, and everybody's had this one very comfortably for the past few days, so... You're going to have to look it up and make sure that you work hard on your test prep so that you don't feel this nervousness where nothing is coming back to you, right? So, Bria has a follow-up question on how do we turn the tests in and out. Okay, I want to address that. I want to get back to how do we turn in both the test prep, not that. I'm looking at the wrong sheet. Window, this one. Sorry. That's confusing. All right, so going back to this here about the procedures. It is sometimes confusing to people what's going to happen here. So I'm going to go ahead and put that on a special line right here. Review of students' written answers to test prep. That is what test preparation class is. A review of students' written answers to the test prep. So that means that today, when the link is provided to you, you will have the test preparation sheets and you will write out the answers as carefully from the notes and from our in-class discussions as you can. And we'll talk about them in class. For the time being, I think we've discussed them enough. And so if you're still feeling shaky about them, I want you to be reading the class notes. Right? If you're going through here, and, well, this is the upper rel, but do we have the junior high class notes? Week one class notes. Right? So if you're still a little bit shaky on 1492, all right, here you go. How did our interconnected world come to be? 1492. All right, what is going on here? Everything in American history links back to this event. Why? Because there can't be a United States of America unless America's discovered first. All right, so go back and read. Go back and take the time to process. Test preparation is a phase in your learning. For the most part, you're sitting there pretty passively receiving information from me, listening to my voice, looking at the screen as we go by day to day. You're not always on the spot. The test preparation puts you on the spot and forces you to make sure that you know what you think that you know and to learn what you don't. If you don't know yet. So that's the whole purpose of the exercise. Okay, so that's what you'll be in a position to do. I'm going to be distributing, like I said, if you go to the class webpage, you will soon see, pardon me for the messiness of the screen here, but you will I'm sorry, I got a little bit off track. You'll see basically the same type of links for you guys shortly after today's class. Okay? These are going to be going up within about half an hour. So make sure you get there and start working on it today. Cramming at the last minute is definitely unadvisable. You'll find yourself really nervous and you'll start getting things wrong and it won't be pleasant. So the sooner you do it, the better. Okay, so for those of you in the junior high group, you've got the schedule of work. Anything that you are unclear on, you absolutely should be asking me aggressively over the next few days. But for the time being, you guys are done. I'm going to keep Keen around here. And for the benefit of anybody who's in the high school class, I want to just have a brief 5-minute discussion about what the standards are that you need to meet at the high school level. Okay? So the rest of you guys are released. Thank you, unless you have a question. So you guys can head off.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. All right, so Micah, you can go. I assume unless you are in the high school class. Did I misunderstand? What level are you working on, Micah? Oh, all right, he's gone. All right, fine. So, Keen, the sole participant at the high school level, at least in the live class. So, what's different in this experience for you? You do not have, evidently, the benefit of the class notes that are prepared by me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first year where you're working at this level, right?
Yes.
Okay, right. So then, what do you have, right? What you have is you have the recordings, and you have whatever notes that you take based on the recordings. And that's going to be what you are in a position to use to prepare for a test. Now that's going to be the typical standard. But I am willing to make an exception, and I have tended to make exceptions for test one, in the past. And so what I have done for students at the high school level is I've provided the junior high class notes to high school students for test one, for the purpose of giving you a chance to test your own note-taking skills and to see whether or not you are getting enough material in your own notes and for you to measure whether or not you're keeping up as you need to be independently, right? And so I am going to make those available to you. And so I will, I'm going to email them to your mom. I think I have your email directly as well, but I'll email those to you.
I can give it to you now if you don't have it.
Yeah. No, that's all right. It's definitely in my inbox somewhere. And so you'll have the notes, and what your goal needs to be at this point, since this is the first time, is you need to be checking yourself for how well you're taking notes. And if you're finding that there are gaps, you and I should be talking about the technique that you're using for taking notes. And I can start to give you more explicit advice on how you can listen and take notes at the same time in the class. It is an art. It's definitely an art. And so there are techniques and tips and tricks that I can give you to help if you need them. Okay. And so for the time being, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the test, the week six. I'm going to give you all the junior high class notes for test one so that you can compare your notes to the ones that are there. Then we're going to see how you do on test one. And then we're going to assess what do we need to do as a result. Okay, so in other words, that will be both for you and for me, the chance to see how you're doing and and what additional assistance you might need if you do need it. And if you do need it, then what we'll do is, in preparation for test two, we'll adopt a different procedure, if necessary. We'll adopt a procedure where you can send me class notes and your written notes, and I'll edit them, or I will assist you in improving them and discuss specific methods that you can use to upgrade your note-taking abilities if they need to be. Note-taking is pretty, you know, it's kind of, everybody's got to develop their own skills. So I kind of hesitate to tell you that you have to do it one way or another. The way that we're going to kind of decide is it's going to be the proof is in the pudding type of thing. We're just going to see how you do, and we're going to work together so that you develop the skill over the course of the year. What are your thoughts about that?
Sounds great. I'm pretty good at taking notes. I tend to err on the side of too much information, so I can get, you know, behind and be struggling to catch up as, you know, as you keep going, or whoever my, you know, teacher for whatever class it is, I can start taking, you know, too many notes, too much detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not transcribing the class, right?
Right.
So, yeah, but thanks for everything, and I'll definitely let you know if I need your help.
Right. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's an art, and it's not uncommon for people to try to take down as much as possible in their notes, and it's something that you learn over time, how to write enough without writing too much. And one of the things you might also look into is how to adopt a shorthand technique and use kind of a method for writing certain things really quickly. So I've got my own shorthand technique that I developed in college, and if you need to write notes quickly, sometimes you have to have a method for accelerating the way you write. So that can be an approach, or typing, as the case may be. What we'll do is we'll just kind of approach this empirically, and we'll see how you do on the test. Expect you'll do fine, but in whatever ways we detect you have gaps or deficiencies, we'll kind of work on that. We'll try to work on it together. All right. So good luck with that. So we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye for now.